Amen and amen. You may be seated. I tell you, God bless Matthew. He gets his steps in on these particular Sundays, doesn't he? He can do it all. He can do it all. I thought about going over there and playing it for him, but I can't play, so you wouldn't want to hear that. I'm always impressed with our ringers and singers, too. They can ring and sing at the same time. I don't know how they do that. I couldn't do that. Anyway, y'all are impressive, and we appreciate the ministry of this church so much, the music ministry. Well, some of you may know that this week our denomination will meet for general conference. That's right. And, you know, as Americans, we understand our United Methodist polity and governance maybe more than a lot of people, because our denomination is set up much like our government, with legislative and executive and judicial branches. And General Conference is the legislative branch of our church. And much like Congress, they have the ability to, you know, add, change, or edit our legislation. Now, do they act like Congress? Well, you be the judge. Go on C-SPAN and just see for yourself. But General Conference, it's important for you to know, is around 850 delegates, half laity, half clergy, from around the world. And they're trying to set legislation for the United Methodist Church, not just for our country, but for the entire world. So you do the visual. 850 people trying to set policy for the church, United Methodist Church, worldwide. They need prayer. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to make light of this at all, but I don't focus on it, because I'm blessed and we are blessed to serve a church that's focused on serving Jesus Christ and our community and our city. Amen? All right. Let us be in an attitude of prayer together. Eternal God, we do thank you for the gift of another Sunday. We thank you for the ringers and singers and all of our musicians and the ways in which they just add to this time of worship and usher in your presence, Lord. It's a mighty thing to behold. And now, Lord, you have granted to me the amazing privilege and responsibility of preaching your word to these my friends and your servants, Lord. I always need your strength to do it. So, Lord, please speak to me and through me in such a way that all of us receive a word from you that will make a difference to our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, today, I want to talk to you about something I believe we all have in common. Have you ever prayed for something and God did not grant it? God just seemed silent. God seemed out to lunch. God seemed aloof. You didn't get what you prayed for. And not only that, God seemed completely silent. I believe if we're all honest here today, we've all felt that way before. And what makes it worse sometimes is that we have well-meaning Christian friends who simply say, well, you need to have more faith, or just pray more. And maybe we come to church and we listen to the preacher, or we listen to the Sunday school teacher, and they make it sound so easy. Just do this and boom, your prayers will be answered. Of course, what drives us crazy many times is that we know people whose lives seem to be a bed of roses. They get everything they want. Everything just falls into place for them, and many of them don't do the right thing. They lie and they cheat and they steal, and yet their kids go to the schools they want to and they get all the opportunities. And maybe you're sitting there desperately praying for something serious. You're like, what is going on? And then, of course, we know people who are rather trite with their prayer life. Let's be honest, and say, oh, you're not going to believe it. I went shopping. The parking lot was packed, and I prayed to God for a parking space, and boom, there it was. Thank you, God. Or I prayed for my team to win the football game, and they won. Praise God. And you're really hurting in your life, and you're praying something desperately, and you're thinking, what gives? This is ridiculous. Perhaps that's why maybe some of you, or you know someone who's fallen away from the church or abandoned your faith, and you've lost hope just about. And you don't want to lose hope. You don't want to abandon your faith, but you don't know what to do. You really can't make sense of all this. Has God forgotten you? Does God not like you anymore? Is God just wound up this clock and left? Has God simply abandoned you? What we're going to learn this morning in this very message is that we can go through difficult times and still have a strong faith in Almighty God. What I'm going to share with you this morning is that all of us can go through tough times in life and still believe that God is there. Because today, folks, we're going to learn that message through a guy in the New Testament who believed that God had abandoned him completely. His name was John. He was Jesus' cousin. Maybe you know him, or not personally, but you know about him. John the Baptist. He was an interesting guy. If Rambo had been a prophet, he would have been John the Baptist, I believe. He was a wild guy. He wore camel hair and ate locust and wild honey. He lived out in the wild. And people would flock to go see him preaching with his hair on fire. And some did it just to be entertained. Yet some did it because they believed in his message. And what was his message? His message was simple. He was pointing to Jesus Christ. He was saying, listen, you better prepare your lives for Jesus, for God in the flesh, for he's coming. Get your lives right. Repent, because Jesus is coming. And when Jesus appeared on the scene, John said, he's the one. He's the one. He's the one I've been talking about. He's the Messiah. Listen to him. Follow him. So John was a righteous man. He did everything that God had told him to do. He was a little weird, but he did what God had called him to do. He was faithful. But would you believe not everybody really liked John the Baptist and his message? In fact, there was one character in particular in Scripture who really did not like his message. And I'm talking about Herodias, Herod's wife. Now, why didn't she like his message? Now, folks, this is when it gets really interesting. This is better than a soap opera. This is better than the Housewives of Lakeland or Atlanta or whatever, okay? This is very interesting. Now, Herodias was married to Herod's brother Philip, but she fell in love with Herod. So she divorced Philip and married Herod. And there is Herod, the king of Judea, sitting pretty, married to his brother's wife. And John the Baptist called her out and called Herod out and said they had broken Jewish law. Now, Herodias didn't like this at all, as you can imagine. And not only didn't she like it, she wanted John the Baptist killed. Take a look in Mark chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. This is what it says. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. So John the Baptist was thrown into prison, even though he was doing the right thing. And even though Herodias wanted him killed, Herod protected him because Herod was entertained by him. He would often ask his servants to bring him up in chains so he could be a show pony and preach for Herod. And Herod would listen to him. He loved that. So here is John the Baptist. He's rotting in prison simply for doing the right thing. For doing the very thing that God had called him to do. For being faithful. He's being treated like a show pony. He's been locked in chains. He needed a miracle, right? He knew someone in the miracle business, didn't he? Jesus, his cousin, who was out performing miracles, doing great things, preaching the good news. And so what did Jesus do? Nothing. Nothing. Jesus did nothing for John. He just kept preaching, kept teaching, kept healing, kept doing all those things. And you know what? John began to have second thoughts about Jesus. The very man who pointed to Jesus with boldness began to have second thoughts about Jesus, began to doubt Jesus. So there he is in prison. And he invites his friends to come visit him because he wants to get a message to Jesus quickly. Because he's doubting. And this is what it says in Matthew chapter 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" Can you imagine his friends? "John, are you kidding us? You said Jesus was the one, and now you're having second thoughts." And John was saying, "Listen, I'm in here, and yet Jesus, my cousin, is out there. You go tell him. Is he really the one? Because I am doubting." Ever been there? Maybe you're there today. Your circumstances change in your life. Suddenly, maybe you're going through a difficult time and you begin to doubt God. You begin to lose your confidence in God. And maybe there was a time when you had strong faith in God. Maybe there was a time when you were active in the church, but you can't make sense of it now. And you're thinking, "Does God not like me anymore? Has God abandoned me? Is God listening to me?" That's where John was. And so he sent his friends to ask Jesus that question. So I can imagine the scene. Jesus is preaching a sermon, and John's messengers go up to him and say, "Excuse me, Jesus, sorry to interrupt. Sorry. Great sermon, by the way, Jesus. But listen, we have a question. You know your cousin John, you know the one who's in prison? Yeah, that guy. Remember him? He wanted us to ask you something. He wanted us to ask you something. He wants us to ask you, I don't know how to say this, are you really the Messiah?" And how does Jesus respond? Does he say, "How dare you ask me that question? I'm so offended you would ask that question." No, Jesus responds this way in verse 4. Take a look. Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." You see, all John could see was the prison bars in front of him. All he could see was the prison in front of him. And he needed to enlarge his frame of reference. And Jesus wanted to remind him all that he was doing. All the good that was happening, all the ways God was working, the lame walk and the blind see, and all these good things are happening. And as John's messengers try to go back to John to tell him this, Jesus then says this, and this is important. He says, "Wait a second, I need you to tell John one more thing. Just tell John one more thing. Tell John." Take a look in verse 6. "Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Now, what does that mean? I've had people all my life in ministry ask me that question. Why would anybody stumble on account of Jesus Christ? What did Jesus mean by that? I believe he meant this in this context. You go back and you tell John, "I'm proud of the one who, even though they're going through tough circumstances, still keep their trust in me." You go back and you tell John, "Blessed is that person that though they're going through trying times and though they don't yet see how I'm going to work everything out, still trust in me." You go tell John that. You see, it wasn't Jesus' will that John was in prison. It wasn't Jesus' will that John was treated that way. Yet, Jesus had a plan. Now, John didn't know what that plan was, but Jesus said, "Blessed will be he if he stays faithful. He will be blessed." So, folks, here's the message I want you to receive today. And some of you came to worship just to receive this message, and you need to underscore it. And maybe there was a time when you believed this, but maybe you don't believe it anymore, but you need to hear it today. Your difficulty, whatever it may be today, does not reflect how God feels about you. The pain you're going through today, whatever it may be, does not reflect how Almighty God and his love, how he feels about you. And so often we think that, don't we? You know, life stinks. I'm going through this divorce, or I've got this diagnosis, or I'm going through this pain. And where is God? Does God not like me or something? Has God abandoned me in my life? And so often we do that. And I'll tell you this, church, the quickest way to spiritual problems in your life is to judge your faith and to judge God in the middle of your circumstances. And we do that, don't we? We think, this is my lot in life. God didn't keep his promises to me. This is how my life is going to be for the rest of my life. Never judge your life. Never judge your faith. Never judge God in the middle of your circumstances, because you will always get a distorted view. Never assume your perspective is the right one. Instead, trust God with the rest of your journey. Trust God that this is not the end of your journey. And if you really want to know how God feels about you, look to the cross. Just look to the cross. You know, oftentimes we talk about John 3:16, for God so loved the world, but we forget the next verse. That God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Because God loves it. And you want to know how much Jesus loves you? Look at what he did. The greatest act of love in history. And said, this is how much I love you. So what do? I mean, some of you are thinking, what do when you're in the middle of this pain and you're having these struggles? Well, this is one of the things I've learned, and this is helpful to me. It's important to look at what God has done and look at what God is doing. To look back and to look out. And one of the most important things I've learned when I go through difficult times is I do the spiritual act of remembering. Because oftentimes we have a bad memory when it comes to God in our lives. To remember that time when God pulled you out of that pit. To go back and remember that time when God worked good out of that situation. To remember that time when God saved you. To remember that time when God redeemed you. To remember that time when God worked all that out for you. To remember that. But also to look out. So often we just get stuck in our little circle of pain. And we forget to look out, to expand our frame of reference and see all that God is doing in the world. And all the ways God is working. And that's what Jesus told John the Baptist to do. The lame walk and the blind see. And people are healed. Look at that. Well, we know what happened to John, don't we? Some of you remember. We've read your Bible and gone to Sunday school. It's kind of a sordid story. You know, Salome showed up, Herodias' daughter. And it's a little weird. But you may remember what Salome did in front of Herod. She danced. And Herod was so taken by Salome that he went up to her and said, I'll give you anything you want. What is it you want? Anything. And Salome went to her mother and said, Mother, what should I ask for? This was Herodias' chance. You give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Now you may wonder, why didn't Jesus do anything? Why didn't Jesus do anything for John? Well, I believe. And listen. Because if Jesus had planned some great escape for John, there would have been bloodshed, there would have been violence, and that would have discredited the ministry of Jesus Christ. His ministry of love. And mercy and forgiveness. And I bet if today we could ask John the Baptist in heaven if he would do it over again, he would say he would. Becoming the greatest, one of the greatest biblical heroes in history, he foreshadowed the greatest act of love in history. And then shortly after John was killed, you know, Jesus, he was beaten, mocked, and crucified. And God did nothing. Jesus even said on the cross, Where are you? Why have you forsaken me? But God had a plan. Boy, did God have a plan. And because of Jesus on that cross, evil and sin and death was destroyed. You see, God's silence was God's plan. Folks, when God seems silent in your life and you think God has abandoned you and totally forgotten about you, He hasn't. He loves you. And He wants you to hear the message, blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble on account of me. Blessed is anyone who keeps the faith and knows that one day I will work good out of this situation. Blessed is anyone who keeps the faith and knows that I can take evil and work it for good. Blessed is the one who knows that one day they will see my hand in their situation. You see, God's delay does not mean God's denial. Little boy had received a puzzle from his father for his birthday. And the boy was having trouble putting the puzzle together. I mean, there were all these different pieces. One was light, some were dark, some were different colors. And he was really frustrated and he could not put the puzzle together. And he said, "Here, Dad, you do it." And within 2 minutes, the father did it. And the son said, "How did you do that, Dad?" And the father replied, "Son, I always knew what the picture was. I could always see the picture. You just saw the pieces." Maybe today all you see are the pieces. The pieces of pain and struggle. But if you wait and trust and keep the faith, God will take those pieces and make a beautiful picture out of it. God's delay does not mean God's denial. And this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let's pray. Eternal God, so many of us are here in worship today, and we just have the pieces, broken pieces all over at our feet. And we hurt. But Lord, by your grace, instill in us that you are still on the throne. You haven't gone anywhere. And you are going to take those pieces and make something out of it. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. We surrender to you. Though we're in pain, we trust you. We trust you. Amen. And we thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning. We hope it's been a time of inspiration and meaning for you. Receive this benediction. And now may that mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you also. May the love of God, our Heavenly Father, abide with you this day and throughout this week. May the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit fall fresh upon you. And the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ go with you and sustain you both now and forevermore. Amen.